that text. Amen. We'll be preaching from this chapter. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42. And they continued steadfastly. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And they continued steadfastly. Amen. I don't want to get into a lot of things. I don't want to stir anything up here tonight. But when I was a boy, they had a program on television that I saw a very few times. It was called Batman. It was real popular. And you know one thing that whoever created that did, was they were very creative. Because it would always end with Batman and Robin in a crisis. And they'd be captured, and they'd be in a cave somewhere, and they'd be in an awful fix. And then it would stop right there. And then across the screen it would say, "To be continued." And of course, you couldn't wait to see how Batman and Robin got out of that predicament. I mean, they were in trouble, and you knew they were going to get out, you just didn't know how. So you just didn't want to miss an episode, because it had to be continued. And that's what I want to preach about tonight. I want to preach about to be continued. Amen. Praise God. The church did not stop after the end of the book of Acts. There's no amen there. It's to be continued. Praise God. Isn't that what it said? It said, and they continued steadfastly. The Lord bless you. May be seated. Amen. The word continued means nonstop, unrelenting, unremitting, and persistent. Steadfast means unwaveringly, unfalteringly, loyally, faithfully, persistently, consistently, with conviction. Hallelujah. And so that's what we are to do, and that's what we are to be tonight, folks. We are to continue steadfastly. Hallelujah. Without wavering. Amen. What did they continue? Well, they continued some things. First of all, the Bible said they continued in the apostles' doctrine. And I'm glad tonight that we are continuing in the apostles' doctrine. What was the apostles' doctrine? The apostles taught that there's just one God. Hallelujah. And His name is Jesus. They thought that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. That God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. They taught that the plan of salvation was repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Hallelujah. That was apostles' doctrine. They taught holiness and living. Amen. That we are to be separated from the world and unto Jesus Christ. That's what they taught. That was the apostles' doctrine. Amen. And they continued. Hallelujah. Are we continuing tonight? Praise God. That's what we're trying to do right here, right now, folks. We want to continue in the apostles' doctrine. Amen. One problem that I see in the study of church history is a lot of churches, and this is not a criticism, it's just a fact, that a lot of churches begin to drift away from the apostles' doctrine and add some other doctrines to the apostles' doctrine. They said, well, you know, actually they didn't have a full understanding. Well, who did then? Amen. It looks to me like The further you get away from the founder who was Jesus Christ, the more impure doctrine becomes. I want to get as close to Jesus as I can, and that's what the apostles taught, because the apostles walked and talked daily with Jesus Christ. They lived with Him for 3 years and heard His words, and that's what they founded their doctrine on. So if the apostles didn't know what they were talking about, pray tell who does. Some fellow that lived 300, 500, 800 years later knew more about what Jesus was teaching than the apostles themselves? No, thank you. Amen. I want to preach and continue in the apostles' doctrine. Hallelujah. I want to read it from this book, from Genesis to maps. Praise God. Let's just understand it and love it and live it. Praise God. And continue in it. Hallelujah. So the Bible said they continued in the apostles' doctrine. The word doctrine simply means teaching. What the apostles taught, that's what they continued in. Amen. And then the Bible says, and they continued in fellowship. Fellowship's important. Amen. We can't make it with just church attendance. Church attendance is important, but we got to have fellowship. You know, it's dangerous when you're off by yourself. Brother Holly said, be like to take a lesson from the banana. Stick with a bunch or you'll get peeled. And he's right. Amen. The Bible said of the church that we are fitly framed together. Fitly framed together. There's a place that God puts you in the church, and you are intertwined with other individuals. No one is set apart. Everybody is a part of the same body. Amen. Your body, my friend, it's pretty compact. If you've ever looked at your innards, everything's got a place. And if anything gets out of place, you got troubles. If anything tries to get too big, you got troubles. If anything starts puffing up and swelling, you got troubles. Amen, because it's fitly framed together. Praise God. And God puts us in the body like that. That's why fellowship is important. Amen. It's great to come to church, but we need to understand that we are a part of the church. Amen. And you need one another. We need one another. Amen. All of us need one another. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, there's a lot of healing that takes place outside the pastor's office for counseling. Just being with one another takes care of a lot of stuff. You know, when you feel loved and accepted and fed, you're a pretty happy individual. That's right. It's only when you feel like nobody loves me and everybody hates me that you start feeling really down, right? It's important. I'm saying tonight, fellowship is important. And that early church, they had good fellowship. Amen. They continued in fellowship. And the word means togetherness. Amen. Togetherness. Admiral Nelson, after winning some great victories, some people were commending him on his victories. And this is what he said. I have the happiness to command a band of brothers. Amen. You know, I'm kind of glad that we still call one another brother and sister around here. I know there's places think that's archaic, and it's not. It's not going to take you to heaven or not. Doesn't matter. You can go to heaven calling somebody John. That's all right. It's not that big of a deal. But it's just kind of nice, isn't it? It's kind of nice for somebody to say brother. Kind of makes you feel, hey, I belong here. Amen. Praise God. Somebody said, well, what if I call somebody brother and they're not a brother in the Lord? Well, you'll get him in Adam. Either in Jesus or Adam 1, you'll get him. So everybody's a brother one way or another. Amen. So don't worry about that. Praise God. Amen. So they continued in fellowship. And we need to continue in fellowship. Then the Bible says, and they continued in the breaking of bread. Now, we're pretty good at that around here. That means eating. Amen. I was speaking earlier about the criticisms of the church and how people don't understand some of the things the church does and some of our terminology. They don't understand some of the things we say. The early church, what they had what they call love feast. And they were accused of all kinds of ugly things from the world. Men with filthy minds and impure thoughts took that way out of context and never knew what they meant by that. A love feast simply meant that when they come together, they brought food. And they put it all together. And they shared their food one with the other. Just like we have church dinners sometimes. They call that a love feast. And so they'd come together and they'd all share food and have a good time and a good time of fellowship. And they were breaking bread. Amen. Praise God. So that was a good thing. Praise the Lord. And it's still good for us to have times, get together and eat together. Amen. And just have a good time of fellowship. And so we've got to continue in fellowship. Continue in the breaking of bread. And the Bible says they continued in prayer. This apostolic experience began in a prayer meeting. Amen. It started in a prayer meeting. And it's still necessary for the church to pray. Prayer is like the lifeblood of the church. It's what gives you strength. If you've ever had the experience of cutting the blood flow off of a part of your body, what happens to it? It gets weak and eventually it'll die. That's what happens when you don't have prayer in your life. You get insensate. You can't feel anything. You get insensitive to the Spirit of God. You get insensitive to your brothers and sisters. You'll say things and you'll do things that you wouldn't do if you were prayed up. Amen. Praise God. It's important that we have prayer. Prayer's what helps us get right with one another and get right with God. Amen. Prayer keeps us sensitive to the Lord. Keeps our hearts tender. Amen. This whole world, you know, if you're not careful, it'll make you get hard in your heart. We can't afford that, folks. We can't get a hard heart. We can get a tough skin. But you got to have a tender heart. Amen. Don't let your heart get hard. Sometimes we need a hard head. You've got to be convinced about what you believe. Praise God. And the Bible said that they continued in prayer. And we're going to continue in prayer, aren't we? Amen. Are we praying? Praise God. Somebody said, well, I hadn't been praying like I should. Why not? What's stopping you? Huh? Praise the Lord. Boy, it's getting quiet in here, isn't it? Amen. Amen. I hear sometimes we talk about the way we used to pray. What about now? Praise God. Can we still pray like that? Is there some reason we can't? Has God changed? Praise the Lord. So you can still pray. And matter of fact, you can pray better today than you've ever prayed in your life. Because you know God better than you've ever known Him. You know the will of God better than you've ever known it. You have more experience and more faith than you've ever had. So pray away. Amen. And become mighty in prayer. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that they continued in fear. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? You know, something that's missing in church these days is the fear of God. The Bible said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I understand that verse pretty well. I really love my dad. He was a wonderful, wonderful man. But I feared him too. I knew that as long as I was doing good, and he was calling me Johnny and Babe, I was doing good. But if he ever threw my middle name in there, woo, the fear set in. As long as it was Johnny and Babe, I was doing good. But if he ever said, Johnny Darrell, woo, trouble's on the way. Fear set in. Amen, because I knew my dad meant some business, and he knew how to take care of business. You know, we need to love the Lord, but we also need to have some fear of the Lord. Understand that He means what He says. I've heard somebody not long ago make the statement they were doing something that was very wrong and they knew it was wrong. And they said, well, the Lord understands. No, He doesn't. You hear me and you hear me well. He doesn't cut one person slack for sin and condemn another one for sin. He's going to judge sin. And it's our job to line up to what He said. Amen. He's not going to just step in. Well, you know, you got to understand, preacher, this is a different day. Different day, but the same God. Same Bible. Same message. Same blood that washes sin. Same Holy Ghost. Amen. None of that's changed, folks. Amen. The early church had a fear of God, had a reverence for God, had an awe of God. And that's got to continue. And that's got to continue. Amen. We can't get to the place and allow this world to blind us to the place that God's just some kind of celestial sugar daddy that just winks at sin and just loves us regardless of what kind of brats and what kind of people we become. No, sir. Amen. Growing up, going back to my family, you know, well, I could go to other people's house and one time I'd spent some time in another household and I'd come home trying to act like they acted over there, and guess what? It didn't work at my house. Woo! I got straightened out in a hurry. It didn't take long. Matter of fact, the first time I was a little disrespectful, he got it straightened out right away. That's the way it was at my house, but I felt secure there. Amen. I felt love there. Praise God. I didn't feel like there was a dictator over my house. I knew what was right and wrong. They taught me what was right and wrong, and they didn't let me get away with it when I wasn't right. Amen. And so they put some fear in me. Man, in living for God, folks, there's some things that are right and wrong. And we need to do the right and shun the wrong. We need to continue in the fear of God. Amen. Let's not lose that. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Bible said that they continued in signs and wonders. Anybody believe signs and wonders in the church? Anybody seen any healings in the church? Anybody seen any miracles in the church? Is God still doing that kind of thing today? Amen. I believe that He is. And amen. I hear folks sometimes talk about, you know, that's what we need to see. We need to see more signs and wonders. And you may be right about that. That means we got to have more trouble first. Because you can't have a miracle unless you have a need. And you can't have a great miracle unless you have a great need. Amen. Now who wants a big need? Hallelujah. God, we want signs and wonders, but we sure don't want any trouble. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. But you know what? God loves us enough to send us trouble anyway. Yes, He does. Amen. Now what? How can we have more signs and wonders? What do we work on? The signs and wonders? No. You work on your believing. These signs shall follow them that believe. So you work on your believing and you work on your faith and you will see more signs and more wonders. Amen. Somebody said, well, you know, brother so-and-so, man, he does great things. He does it without God. He does it without faith. Amen. And brother so-and-so may not be able to get around to you. So you might as well just start believing yourself. You might as well get yourself in a place where you can believe and God can do signs and wonders. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I believe that'd be all right. Amen. It wouldn't hurt my feelings if you come to church Sunday morning all excited, walking on air. See, Brother Grissom said I was passing by an accident. Somebody laying out there looked like they were about ready to die, and I laid hands on them and prayed, and they got up, and God healed them. Wouldn't hurt my feelings. Wouldn't hurt my feelings. I wouldn't say, now, brother, why didn't you call me? No, sir, I'd be all excited. I'd just shout with you. Praise the Lord. I was in the hospital visiting, and somebody was real sick, and I laid hands on them, prayed for them, and God healed them. Hey, that's not going to upset me, not one iota. You're part of the body of Christ, and He can move through you just like He can move through anybody else. The glory is not for the man. The glory is not for the person. The glory is for the Lord. Amen. Praise God. This is His body. Amen. And all of us are part of that. Praise God. So we need to continue in signs and wonders. And what we work on is our believing. Because that's who the signs follow. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Bible said they continued in caring and sharing. It was a place that cared about one another. They cared about one another. When they heard somebody was in need, they helped out. Praise God. You know, a number of members of my family went through the Great Depression and some pretty tough times back then. And they knew about pulling together. And at different times, various families would have to live either in the same house or real close together. And they shared food. And they shared finances, and they shared everything because they were getting through some tough times. Amen. Neighbors helped one another. And that was a wonderful time. But as we become more affluent, we feel like we don't need one another anymore. We get isolated. And when we got air conditioning, we got off the porch and moved in and shut the door. And now many people don't even know who their neighbors are. Amen. You see, the blessings of prosperity have brought some things into our culture that are not necessarily good. Amen. But we still need to continue in caring and sharing. Amen. When we have a brother or sister in the church that has a need, we need to pull together and help them. We have done that, and we will continue to do that. We must, right? Amen. Now we do a lot for folks that are not even in the house of God, not even in church at all. Some of them really don't have much interest, or perhaps not any interest in even serving God. And so if we'll help those people, we really need to help the body of Christ. Amen. So when people have needs in the church, let's pull together and let's help one another. Caring and sharing, that was the part. And we got to continue that. Hallelujah. I said, we got to continue that. That's a part of being the church of Jesus Christ. That's the apostolic church. That's what they taught. That's what they did. They were motivated by love. Amen. James talked about that, didn't he? You know James, he's pretty just blunt, practical guy. He said, if you see your brother in need and you walk by and he's sitting there shivering and you know, don't have enough clothes on and he's starving to death, and you say, hey, brother, be clothed, be warm, be full, God bless you, and walk away. He said, what have you done? Amen. You've done nothing. Praise God. And so that's a part of the church, to feel responsibility one for another as members of the body of Christ. Amen. That's important. Caring and sharing. And then we are to continue in worship. Hallelujah. The Bible said daily in the temple. Daily in the temple. Praise God. I've heard folks say, well, you know, I don't look to me like you'd have to go to church more than once a week. Sunday morning surely ought to be enough. Some people have never seen the church without either Easter lilies or Christmas poinsettias. Amen. But it seems to me like the more we love the Lord, the more we want to be with His people, and the more we want to be in His presence. I'm sorry, I can be. This may be wrong, but I don't think so. I think I'm on right here. I think I'm doing pretty good with this. Amen. The Bible said they were daily in the temple. And sometimes we have a tough time with three times a week. Amen. But nonetheless, seems like I read somewhere, it said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and so much more as you see the day approaching. I believe we're closer to the rapture than we've ever been. I believe we're closer to the coming of the Lord than we've ever been. Amen. So if going to church has ever been important, it's important now. If being together in fellowship and in worship has ever been important, it's important now. Amen. So they continued in that. Praise the Lord. They continued in worship. They were daily in the temple. Praise God. And the Bible said that they continued, and I love this word, in gladness. That's a good word, isn't it? Not just happiness, but gladness. Amen. In other places in the Bible, the same word is translated exceeding joy. They rejoiced with exceeding joy. Hallelujah. Amen. Gladness. Praise God. I think we ought to be glad in the house of the Lord. Amen. Glad to be here and just glad. Amen. Praise God. One little boy, they asked him, they said, what do you want to see when you get to heaven? He said, I want to see gladly. And they said, who's gladly? He said, well, you know, gladly, the cross-eyed bear. Amen. Well, some of you got it. Thank you. Anyhow, amen. But gladness is a part of being in the house of God. Just be glad you can get here. Just be glad you're a part of the body of Christ. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm glad He included me. Sometimes I still can't hardly believe it. But he chose me anyhow. Hallelujah. I wasn't one of those people who got used to being chosen all that much. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's more like when they were choosing teams, somebody said, you take him. Amen. No, you take him. Amen. But he chose us today. He chose us today. He said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Amen. I'm glad about that. Praise God. So we need to continue in gladness. I don't know about you, but I like to be in happy places. I'm not much on being in sad places. Praise God. And I wouldn't really want to go to a church that was a sad church. I want to go to a glad church. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Praise. Somebody said, if you're happy, notify your face. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. I'm having fun anyhow. I hope you are. We got to continue in gladness. Amen. He said they continued in favor with all the people. I like that statement. I've given some thought to that various times. In Greek, there are two words for people. One word is demos, and it means one's own specific populace, such as the Jewish people. Amen. But that's not the word that's used here. The Greek word that's used here is laos, and the word laos means all of the general populace. So what the scripture's saying is they didn't just have favor with church people, they had favor with all the people. They had favor with people that were not even church people. And I hope you pray that way. I often pray, God, give us favor with people. Just give us favor with everybody. Now, how do we do that? Just by simply living the Christian life. If we really live like Christians, we can be loved by people. Now, you're going to have some folks not going to be happy with anybody. Amen. They didn't even love Jesus himself. Amen. But there's a lot of folks, if we'll just live the Christian life, folks, we can win people to Jesus Christ. Amen. God will give us favor with people. The job that you work on, God, if you'll pray about it, ask him, Lord, help me to have favor with these people that I work with. Have you ever worked with somebody that you just had a hard time putting up with? And then you prayed about it and asked the Lord to help you. And that relationship changed. I was working on a job one time and I'd had it about to here. I mean, it was tough. It was hard. And I just had just about enough. I was in the church. I was a young man. Right before I went to Bible college, but I had just had enough. And I just couldn't hardly take anymore. And I was praying about it, and my mom was praying about it. And you know what? Then I went to work after going to service one Sunday, and after praying, I went back to work. And you know what? The whole way they treated me changed. And those derogatory things that they were calling me, they quit calling me that. Praise the Lord. I'm saying God can give. And you know, I learned this much later. I was working then with one of my cousins, actually. And he said that the rest of the men that were on our crew, he said that every now and then they'll still ask, well, what about that preacher boy that used to work with us? How's he doing? You see, God gave us favor with people. And God will give you favor with people. He can change some things in your life, even on your job. Amen. Praise God. So they continued, everybody say they continued in favor with all the people. Yes, they did. And then they continued growing. They just continued growing. I said this the other day, I'm going to say it again. Amen. You see, all of us want the church to grow. And it only takes two things for the church to grow. All we have to have is a healthy father. And I believe we do. Amen. Somebody said God died. I never even got the notice he was sick. Amen. Matter of fact, the guy that wrote it, now he's dead. And the God he wrote about still living. Praise God. And ever will. All right. And so our father's well and healthy today. There's nothing wrong with him. He's very potent. Amen. So then what's the responsibility? It's for the mother to get healthy. And so if the father's healthy and the mother's healthy, then we're going to have children. We're going to grow as a church. That's just a natural process. Amen. So as we continue in the apostles' doctrine and we continue in worship, and we continue in fellowship, and we continue caring and sharing, and we continue in fear, in the fear of the Lord and in reverence to God. We continue in prayer. We continue in gladness in the presence of the Lord. We continue in favor with people. Hey, folks, we can't help but grow. It's just natural. The only thing that'll stop us from growing is if we have problems in the body. If the body gets sick and all of our attention is taken from producing healthy children and soul winning to just trying to take care of our own problems. You see, all of our healing virtue goes to taking care of us, and there's nothing left over for them. That's why we have to put some things behind us, and that's why we've asked us to just go on from here. Amen. Now, I know there's at least a few people that didn't do that because word got back and some other trouble, some other fire started somewhere else. I wish it hadn't. I wish we could have just all done what we were, you know, what we should have done. Now, I'm going to tell you frankly that I'm not a policeman. I'm not going to try to be. You're a free agent. You can say what you want to say and do what you want to do, and I can't stop you, and I won't try. Amen. But I will say that you'll hurt the body of Christ. Amen. You can hurt the body of Christ, and you can keep some things going on that frankly just need to stop. And you see that, but I'm just talking about, we want to grow, don't we? I believe we do. And you know what? I believe we are. I believe we will. Amen. But we're going to postpone that as long as we have to keep healing all over the place over here, and somebody gets hurt over there, and somebody gets hurt over there, and somebody gets hurt somewhere else, and all of our healing's going to trying to just keep folks propped up and going to church. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, but I believe we're on the mend here, folks. Praise God. I believe we're on the mend. Hallelujah. There's some things we need to continue. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. And the Bible said, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I've always wanted to be a place where the Lord added daily to the church. Now, what we understand when we're saying church here, at this particular time, all of the church was in Jerusalem. That's where it started. But then it began to spread throughout Judea, and then it went into Samaria, and from there it went all over the world. And if you look at the world church today, the church worldwide, there are many hundreds and thousands of people that are added to the church every single day. Only God knows how many people were added to the church today. Amen. But I want them to start adding to the Athens United Pentecostal Church. Amen. And I wouldn't mind if he did it every day. Praise the Lord. That'd keep us kind of busy around here, wouldn't it? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. We pray often for the Lord to add to the church, and we mean that. We really mean that. We really want that. It's our heart desire. Amen. But how many of you remember how your household changed when a baby was born into the family? Did it change things? Did it change things a lot? Did it kind of change your focus and your priorities? It changed a lot of stuff when babies were born. And that's what happens in a church. And when a church gets in a spirit of revival and souls are being added, you know, we don't have time to focus on ourselves. We're too busy taking care of the little ones. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Selfish people don't like revival because the focus gets off of them. Amen. And it gets on others. It gets on new babies. Praise God. And that's where it ought to be. Praise God. That's where maturity sets in. That's how we grow up. Amen. Praise God. Well, I got to quit meddling. Amen. Praise God. You know, one of the reasons that our economy is in the shape it's in is because we have a lot of people that never learn to grow up. All they ever thought about was themselves. They could only think about themselves. In the late 60s, we had what was called the hippie movement. Anybody remember the hippies? You know what happened to the hippies? They became yuppies. The hippies became yuppies. You remember the hippies? They were the ones that said, cast out materialism, and lived in Volkswagen vans and tents and just cast away all of their teaching and believed in free love, just love everybody and make love not war and on and on and on. That was the hippie culture. But you know what happened to the hippies that said no to materialism? They're the most materialistic people that have ever lived on the face of the earth. And they're the folks that are in our Congress today. They are the people that have been watching the hen house. Amen. But they couldn't control themselves. because they didn't learn anything. They cast off self-restraint and discipline. And, you know, the rules apply to other people, not me. Amen. And so that got into our culture, and that got into our nation, and it got into our government. And that me-first attitude is what brought us to this place we are right now. Amen. And you know what? It's still continuing. It is mind-boggling that our situation's very shaky right now. And yet they're still wanting multi-million-dollar settlements when they leave a business that they drove into the ground. And you know what? They're getting it. They gave $85 billion the other day to AIG Insurance Company to keep it afloat because they were afraid it would wreck the economy if they didn't. You know what they just did yesterday or day before? They went and had a $450,000 party. Isn't that interesting? Why? That's our culture, folks. There are some people that just don't get it. They just don't get it because they're selfish. Amen. They never grew up. Praise God. As a church, we can't afford that. Amen. We've got to just grow up. Understand that, you know, we have a time to be a child. We have a time to be an adolescent. We have a time to be a young adult. Amen. But we just keep growing up. Keep being more mature. Amen. And mature, taking maturity and responsibility. And that's where we are. This is a very mature church. This is a mature body. Amen. It's time for us to get to the business of producing the young. Winning souls. Adding to the church. Praise God. Are we there yet? Amen. Are we there yet? Praise God. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. I'm trying not to meddle, folks. I really am. Amen. Now, when you got that new baby in your house, how did it act? Like you? Did it go to bed when you wanted to go to bed and sleep until you wanted to get up?
No, sir.
Did it eat on your schedule? Oh, no. It sure didn't. Amen. It didn't work like that. They're not put together that way. Amen. I've often wondered why God did create children with a voice, with a volume control. And then I figured out, well, they couldn't survive without it because we'd turn it off. Amen. Praise God. What are you saying, Brother Grissom? I'm saying when babies come in and new people come into the church, they're not Christians. They're coming out of a world culture. And it takes a little time for them to learn how to act around here. Amen. Some of us want them to come in and just act just like us. Ain't going to happen. They have to learn how to act. They have to learn how to talk. They have to learn how to walk. They have to learn how to behave. Amen. This is totally different to them. They know nothing about this. Some folks say, well, you know, they ought to know. Well, maybe they ought to, but they don't. We just got to face the facts. This is the world we're dealing with, folks. I know 30, 40, 50 years ago, it was different. People were moral because they had a Christian culture. We don't have a Christian culture anymore. We have a heathen culture. Amen. We have a pagan culture. So we have to deal with a whole different set of circumstances. But you know what? That first church dealt with that same thing. The apostolic church, there was no Christians. They were the first ones. And we're going back that same pattern. But you know what? If God gave them revival and they established a successful church, we can do it again. Amen. In 2008. Praise God. Everybody say, to be continued. That's what we got to continue this. We've got to continue what they started. Let's not start our own thing. Let's continue what they started. What Jesus started. Amen. Praise God. Let's look to the Lord right now, shall we? God, we want to be the church that you want us to be. Amen. We're here for you. That's our purpose for existing tonight. And we want to be the church that you called us to be. And there's many wonderful things that you have established here in this church. And we're so very thankful for all that has been done. And we understand tonight that we are standing on the shoulders of a tall man. We understand tonight that many good things are in place. And we don't have to lay a lot of a foundation. But help us, Lord, tonight to get our focus on the winning of souls. Amen. Help us just to continue what you started on the day of Pentecost and just let the church be the church. Praise God. In Jesus' name, that's what we want to be. In the name of the Lord. I'm in this church, this glorious church. I didn't join, no, I was born. I've had a new birth. Some glorious day, I'm going to sail away. By His grace, not by my works, I'm in this church. Amen, I'm in this church.
I'm in this church.
This glorious church.
This glorious church.
I didn't join, no, I was born. I've had a new birth. Some glorious day, I'm going to sail away. By His grace, not by my works, I'm in this church. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's thank God for it right now, shall we? Praise God.